Hey, everybody. Welcome to Awaken Life. It's Monday, 3 o'clock. So you're with us, the cast and crew here. Paul DeFuria, Rick Seward. How you doing, guys?
Hi, Adam.
Great.
So if you saw any of the updates today, then you know that we're talking about the masculine with heart today. And it's been interesting because as soon as I started sending the word out that we were going to be talking about the masculine with heart, which the subtitle of it is what men need to know about sex, or women, sex, and enlightenment. And so I've got a bunch of my female friends saying that they're definitely tuning in today because they're very curious what
we might have to say about
what,
that.
What us guys might have to say about them and what we think we know they want. And part of what we said when we even started the show is that we wanted to encourage any women out there who think we've got it all wrong or maybe want to just give us a high five to call. And the number 888-298-KKNW, which is 5569, and 425-373-5527. That's the local number. So we want to rap with you. And we were laughing too because we're gonna talk today about how to avoid the LJBF line, Paul.
Yeah, that's the LJBF syndrome is something to be avoided. let's just be friends.
Right.
You don't want to get stuck in that zone.
So there's guys out there that have heard it, and there's girls out there who have said it. And, you know, there's women out there who have heard it, too. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Let's just be friends.
Yeah, it's bad, but there's one thing worse.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
When your wife tells you, let's just be friends.
Oh, my God, you guys are killing me. We only are 4 minutes into this thing. So we're going to talk about relationships. I mean, as soon as you start talking about masculine and feminine, that means you're going to talk about relationships. And part of awakening is the realm of awakened intimacy, the realm of awakened relationships. And so, and we're actually going to throw down a three-stage model, with stage three being, well, what we're calling awakened intimacy. So, Paul, why don't you give them a rundown on the three stages here?
Yeah, I mean, we're big fans of David Data's work, and his first stage relationship is really more the selfish realm, where I'm going to get my needs met. And so it's very egocentric. And in that way, it sort of patterns Wilbur's model of egocentric relationship and ethnocentric relationship and world-centric relationship. Mm-hmm. So the first stage is just, how am I going to get my own needs met?
Right.
Second stage is more about how do we get our needs met? So it becomes more about agreements and making arrangements and accommodations, and it's more like that. It's more collaborative. And then third stage one is more about when your relationship goes beyond just the cult of two. And it becomes about offering not just getting your own needs met or both your needs met, but everybody's needs met, in the sense that you're offering love, just not to your partner, but it's increasing your capacity to hold it for everyone all the time. So that's juicy. That's when your relationship starts to be in service to the world, and it's, you know.
Bigger than just you, which is egocentric, than even the two of you, which is the sort of what you're calling ethnocentric.
Yeah, and you know, the culture tracked it. We're in more traditional roles. If you think about, like kind of the old stereotype of the guy being the man's man and, you know, the Clark Gable, and the woman being the damsel in distress, the princess, right, who's in the knight comes to, that's sort of an old archetype, right? But the new one, the postmodern one, is different. It's way more flatland, as we like to call it, which means that the men are more sensitive and the women are more, they're stronger and, you know, they earn their own money and they're, you know, they have their own. So what's happened is it's kind of met in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lost its polarity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's become the concern for people is something's missing.
Mm. Yeah, that's something I hear a lot. It's like women saying, you know, there's just something missing from my relationship. He's not showing up the way that I want him to, right?
Yeah, that's it. And the double bind is they wanted men who had more heart, so they were more, you know, had more sensitivity. But then if they're too much in that, too much that so, then there's no polarity. There's no juice. They lose interest in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I've got a quote here because what does it mean to live out the masculine with heart? I think that's an important question to answer. And what we've got, what I've got here, it says, evolving beyond the macho jerk ideal, all spine and no heart. And it also means, evolving beyond the sensitive and caring wimp ideal, all heart and no spine. And I think that means really they're talking about going, you know, from beyond stage one and stage two is what that quote's saying, right?
That's exactly right.
It's beyond the first part, just all, you know, the macho jerk, the Marlboro man, John Wayne, you know, the Lone Ranger, but also beyond just the guy that's like, oh, you know, like whatever you want.
I call that guy a snag. Do you know what that means? That's an acronym for a sensitive new age guy.
Ah.
Yeah.
I like Data uses the word flow boy.
Oh.
Which yeah. I think is another. I mean, it's just like, I mean, how many women, can I get an amen from all the women out there who are like, you know, grow a pair for their men? Because I'm telling you, man, that's what I'm hearing. That's what women are telling me. They want their men to grow a pair. They also want them to, you know, to listen and to pay attention. And Paul, I mean, tell me about paying attention because...
Well, yeah, well, one of the things we're talking about, that we've been talking about, is types, right? And if you just break it down, in the East, they have the typology of the masculine and feminine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know that, what's the thing with the, what's that symbol? The
yin yang?
The yin yang symbol, right? So there's a white and a black. And then there's a little white dot in the black and a little black dot in the white. And so that's a perfect, you know, model because mm-hmm. you have two polarities that are opposite. They're also made of each other and they're also one thing,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but you can't, what happens is when you get into oneness and with a couple, right? Mm-hmm. You can lose the black white. You lose the polarity. Where's the tension and there's the juice, right? So, and that's what our culture wants to create. Actually, is the men act more like the women, and the women act more like men, and then there's just there's nothing going on. It's just, you know. So that's
not very sexy, is it?
No, it's more like, you know. Then you end up being like brothers and sisters,
right?
Right. So we're talking about the masculine and the feminine energies, and in the traditions they talk about the masculine is characterized by presence,
mm-hmm.
and the women by fullness.
The feminine,
right? The feminine is. Did I say women?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if you believe what you know, the experience of people who do this a lot, they say about. Let's say 4 out of 5 women are in their feminine.
Mm-hmm.
They identify with the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for men. About 4 out of 5, they self-identify as a masculine, right?
Mm-hmm.
In their masculine essence.
Mm-hmm.
About 1 out of 10 is neutral. So that both, you know, it's very balanced. So balanced that you know, and then 1 is opposite. So one guy would actually identify in the feminine and one woman out of mm-hmm. 10 would identify. Does that make sense?
It does. And I just want to be clear that we're talking now about polarity, right?
Because, that's exactly. It does right. nothing to do with gender, but for the most part, you know, just odds are most of the time, about, you know, 4 out of 5 times, the guy is going to be, you know, really confused by a woman who is storming, for example, and want to shut down, go in their cave. Right?
Right, right,
and,
right.
Yeah. And so that understanding that dynamic and so learning to really work with it so you can move beyond it, actually use the juice that comes from the tension that is caused by the meeting of these two poles, because that's what makes it interesting.
Well, and that's the difference between a second stage and a third stage relationship, because in the second stage, it's all about, you know, let me understand you and repeat that and I'll repeat it back to you and, you know, make sure you heard me right. And it's great in the sense that it, you know, it opens up, space for communication and connection and so on. But it's not as sexy as the third stage because in that stage of relationship, then it's actually, it becomes art. And that polarity is seen as tension, seen as energy, which makes things really interesting.
No, I mean, these ideas that you have a relationship. I want what I want. How come you're not giving me what I want? You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, this is what I want. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
No, how do you feel about it? No, you tell me how you feel.
I just want to make sure you get everything you want and that I get everything I want.
Well, then it gets all sideways because, you know, then it becomes a big negotiation and you project your desires onto them. Then you expect them to be providing you what you're not even asking for. It gets completely sideways, right? And it's all, and then these conversations take forever and then they don't go anywhere. And it's just like, you know.
Yeah. It's, there's, you know, the men, I see a lot of men that are just, you know, they want to fix people. You know, like that's kind of what comes up. Cause the masculine tends to be sort of the fixing side. And, you know, what I, you know, part of it, used to be, it's like, okay, well, listen, stop fixing and listen, right? I'm going to set the timer for 2 minutes.
That's right.
You know, you talk, you listen for 2 minutes, you know, ding, okay, what did you hear him saying? What did you hear her saying, right? And that's great. That's important training. I mean, literally, you can't hold the intensity of a third stage relationship if you don't have those skills, if you don't have the ability to do that. So it's very important to teach, you know, for people to learn that. But what we're saying today on, you know, Awaken Life, right, Talk Radio Evolve, we're saying that that's not the end, right? Just because you two can shake hands and agree on something doesn't mean that, you know, you've got the fullest potential of a relationship, you know. And part of why this is so fun, Paul, for us, I think, to talk about, and Dad, is that, I mean, this is our life, right?
Yeah.
I
mean,
I can talk about the LJBF because it's actually present for me. That happened to me last week, so we can just chat.
All right,
we'll keep the names, you know, to protect the innocent. We just keep
hold that anonymous. Hold that thought, Paul. There's actually no way I'm letting you get out of here today without telling us about your LJBF story. All right, we'll be right back. We're going to commercial. You're listening to Awaken Life. Don't go anywhere.
My God. How am I going to tell that story?
Kidzen Hot Yoga of Bellevue is a brand new hot yoga studio in Bellevue, Washington. Come join a beautiful yoga community and become part of something greater than yourself. Hot yoga has so many tremendous benefits, which include allowing your muscles to stretch deeper than they would at room temperature, while detoxifying your body and working out on a micro and macro level. If you have aches and pains or are just searching for an active and meditative workout, hot yoga is for you. Temperatures range from 98 to 105 degrees and postures focus on strength, endurance, and balance, while simultaneously working your organs, nervous system, and glands. This is a comprehensive workout, and more importantly, it's an opportunity to go deeper within yourself and heal your mind and body from the inside out. More info at GetZenYoga.com. That's GetZenYoga.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Awaken Life right here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio WBLQ out of Rhode Island, our flagship station coming to you coast to coast. So we're talking about the masculine with heart today. And Paul over
here. I don't want to tell this story.
Paul just basically told us before the break that he had an LJBF experience earlier this week. And so now.
I think you're going to have to explain what that acronym is one more time.
Let's just be friends.
Okay. So
thanks, Eric.
I was seeing somebody who I was interested in romantically, and we were friends. So we were having the conversation to, you know, to take it to another level. First of all, that's a bad sign if you're having a conversation about it.
Right, right.
As a general rule, that doesn't end well.
Right.
You know, it was interesting because I was, it seemed like there was a moment when it was possible, and then she pulled back from it. Mm-hmm. And when she did, I totally collapsed and got clingy. Why not? Mm-hmm. You know, like that.
Yeah.
And I did not like how that felt. And that conversation was terrible for me because then she actually went into her masculine and was giving me all the reasons why it was a bad idea and why she's defending herself for doing it. And I was just like, no, this isn't the way I want this to go.
Yeah.
You know, this is just not working.
Right, right.
And, you know, one of the characteristics of a masculine energetic is there is a healthy competition. They want to win.
Mm-hmm.
We guys like to win. As long as we're winning, we're happy. Right. But for women, it's not as important to win as it is to feel love. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, does he love me? Does he love me not? And for a guy, it's, am I winning or am I losing? And, you know, I was losing that conversation and she wasn't feeling love. So it got everything cattywampus. Right. And I tell you, for me, what got triggered is this. We've talked about voices, different voices. Mm-hmm. I would describe it as the damaged child, as it's been described, you know, and felt very vulnerable for having, you know, gone there.
Yeah.
Right. But then, felt like I've felt this before. I can't go there again because it, you know what I mean? I'm actually being punished in a way for being vulnerable because as soon as she saw the vulnerability, that's when was my story.
Right.
That was what closed her down. You know, that's what made her say no, when it's actually not what was going on.
No, it's not necessarily that vulnerability is, you know.
And I would make it really simple. I didn't say, this is what I want.
Right.
What I was I said to her was, let's agree to this.
Mm.
So I approached the conversation as, let's have a mutual agreement about this. Moving beyond friendship. And okay, let's do that. And immediately that went sideways.
Well, and I happen to know this person, and she, you know her too.
Which
I
mean, we love. And trust me, the fun part about this story is there was a fear there for a moment. Oh, okay, now the friendship's ruined or something. You know, like we can't go back and all that kind of nonsense. All that left in a moment.
Well, I can tell you're like, you know... This is a vulnerable state for you.
I was feeling massively vulnerable, and that feeling of rejection was palpable.
Yeah.
Because the second part of the story is, at a certain point, it was actually the next morning, I woke up and I had an epiphany, and I was just like, okay, I understand what I didn't see before. It was like a missing piece of the puzzle. And once that happened, then I was able to let all that other stuff go. Because what I was doing was forcing something.
Mm-hmm.
And in love or in any kind of energetic, you can't force it.
So how does someone avoid LJBF? What have you learned about how someone avoids that?
Well,
let me say one thing.
Okay.
One of the things is to choose a woman who chooses
you. Well, that was what I was going to say.
Oh.
That's the first thing.
So this is an important principle. This is one of the things that we want men to know.
You ask your buddies.
Yeah.
They will give you a good assessment of whether this woman's choosing you or not.
Right. So you're not going to get the let's just be friends talk from someone that if you can tell they're not choosing you, because you're just not going to, if you're honest with yourself about it, you're just not going to go far enough even down that path. It's, you know, to get to the, and if you really need to know, you know, it's, if you're really not quite sure if she's playing hard to get, then ask your friends, right?
There's a difference, right, between playing hard to get then. That's not our relationship.
Right.
Because there's nothing the matter with being friends. Let's be clear about that. We're just talking about if you have you see a romantic relationship, but you don't tell that person, and then you're running a secret agenda. Your agenda is hidden. That makes you very untrustable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you'll never be able to make it into what it's not. And that's true. In so many different contexts. Things are the way they are. It is what it is. We keep talking about it. And that's true with relationships. So your job is to see what it is. And, you know, if you're in the masculine, The masculine energy is the witnessing awareness. It's the seer. The woman, it likes to be seen. It's the radiant energy that's in manifest form that's moving. So it's the flow and all that kind of thing. So that dynamic, you can, if you miss the dynamic, then you all, then things get out of order. Then you lose your capacity to stay in the moment, and you start to live into a story. And this isn't matching the story I had about it. And then all the expectations that you weren't copping to come to the forefront, you know.
That's part of how we avoid what is, right? I mean, expectations, projections, fantasy. I mean, who hasn't had that experience, right? You step into a relationship. It's going to save you. You've decided this relationship is going to save me. And these are all the ways that it's going to save me. And then, and not that this is necessarily what you said, but, you know, people have experienced it. And then it doesn't match, right? And then all of a sudden we're in this
disappointment stage.
You end up in an oppositional relationship to what is. Mm-hmm. And that's the definition of suffering.
Yeah. And since the worst part about it is I know this model so well, you know, I know that.
Oh, yeah.
I teach it. In fact, I give all my friends advice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know, Paul.
But actually,
I know from experience.
Now I'm realizing that was all for myself, why I kept giving it to everyone else, because I couldn't hear it. And I knew it. There was something. Why was it like holding on to something like that?
And one thing you said, too, because we talked about this before, is you said, I get it now. You're like, that's not the way she was.
Yes.
That's not who she was meant to
be
to
you. She was telling me. She said, I'm being 100% clear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you're not. But she was. In retrospect, it was like, you know how I was telling a friend about it. Do you ever see The Usual Suspects? And he drops the mug and it says Kobayashi. And he has that moment where he realizes the guy's been interviewing had made the whole thing up and left it. Do you remember that? Okay. Because it said he's the mastermind criminal was Kobayashi, but it was actually on the bottom of the mug. So when he's taking a sip, he was reading it and just spinning this story, right? And when he figures it out, it's just like, oh, aha. It was more than an aha moment. I don't know how you describe that.
Dad, did you get permission today to talk about mom?
No, I didn't. I have to be very careful today.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I'm curious. You know, I'm really,
come on,
really...
let's spill it. I'm not going to be the only one spilling it.
I'm really curious. I know. It's only fair, right? Like, I'm really curious, you know, how this all fits with you.
Well, when you've been married 35 years, I feel like all the advice that you're giving me in many respects would have been really handy about 36 years ago. But actually, I'm learning a lot from everything you have to say. I mean, this is good stuff.
Well, this is, by the way, the Tantra in the Eastern traditions. The whole love affair is the play of energy. Yeah. See, that's what's called Leela, the play of consciousness. So it's consciousness with light. Right? The light is the movement and the flow, and then, you know, and then there's the witness that sees it all. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, let's all play with it. You can always increase your mastery so that, you know, that person, you know, the woman's always feeling loved and the man's feeling, you know, like he's, you know, getting what his needs met and he's contributing and he's on purpose. So purpose is a really big piece of the masculine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's so great because both you guys are single and never been married. And this type of discussion is so important.
Yes, we have to learn. The women, see, started first with this. So they've been at it a while, and they're so strong. They're powerful, and they need to be met. See, and what they complain about, where's my match? Because when I'm in my, really, if I storm, for example, he'll shut down or withdraw or he stops talking or we'll watch TV or video game. And it's like, I'm by myself. How is this happening, right? You know, but then when you find a guy who just listen, you know, is just always listening, tell me more about how you feel, and that goes on indefinitely, right? Then you've lost that kind of the wild Mustang, and now you got a pony who's with the blinders on. That's fun, right? That's how Bill Maher describes it. You know those horses in Central Park that pull the tourists around? That's what happened to American men. They just got emasculated, and there's no power anymore. They've lost it because you know, in the women's right movement and the feminist movement said, hey, there's 10,000 years of patriarchy. We've been oppressed. And that's valid. There's truth to that. So then the men are, you know, very walking on eggshells experience. Now, we can speak to that, right? You don't want to say the wrong thing or trigger, right? Because, you know, or be seen as insensitive, because that's about the last thing we want, you know. See what I'm, you know.
Well, yeah, there. I mean, like, in our culture, that's the worst thing that can happen, you know. It's like, oh, you weren't sensitive to this culture or this population or something.
Well,
you
that's
know.
It, what I wanted to say is it's the worst part of a the worst thing you can do in a second stage thing is be insensitive.
Right.
For a guy.
Right.
You know, that's
well
the sensitivity piece of it, right? So you want to make everything by agreement and all that.
So there's another principle here, another little piece of advice for men. It says to live with an open heart, even if it hurts. So, yes. You know, in a sense, Paul, I think it's fair to say that you had some experience with that.
We all do.
I don't want to say, but you recently, you know, just recently.
I'll tell you what happened, what occurred to me in the revelation, like when I had my real clearing about it,
yeah.
Is the rejection is a burning feeling,
mm-hmm.
right? That up until now, resist and avoid at all costs. And then I realized that the feeling of falling in love, as it were, mm-hmm. feeling deeply in love and being so excited about something, is actually the same sensation exactly. It's all the context it's held in. And I realized, oh, this is the feeling I was looking for. Who knew it was so easy just to be rejected? See, I've been avoiding rejection.
Yeah.
I just go out and get as much as possible.
Yeah.
The idea is, you know, it hurts,
yeah.
but it doesn't bother you. There's
That's a big
difference, right?
And, you know, I say there's no rejection. It's just redirection.
That's it.
You know, yeah. I mean, whatever woman's showing up for you or man, you know, like out there, that's the divine, right? It's either your lesson for that. It's a holy encounter, right? So
yeah.
That applies to these relationships. I mean, whoever's in front of you. That's,
well, let's talk more about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that when we come back. Hey, we're going to go to break again. You're listening to Awaken Life. Stay with us. We got some more what it means to live the masculine with heart.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Listen to the Marie Manucherry Show, where energy and medicine meet, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. It's intelligent and provocative radio. Tuesdays is boot camp for the soul to help you soar. Thursdays, Marie interviews guests from an incredibly talented lineup. To learn more about Marie and her radio show, visit energyintuitive.com or connect with her on Facebook and Twitter. That's the Marie Manucherry Show, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And I'm Rick Seward.
And together we have partnered to bring you Awaken Life as part of our commitment to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness. That's also why we decided to create the Awakening Foundation. Well, what's the Awakening Foundation? The Awakening Foundation is a nonprofit organization that's designed to help facilitate the evolution of consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awaken Media. We'd love to connect with you. For more information on the Awakening Foundation, go to adamseward.com. If you'd like to find out more or to talk with us about how you can support the mission, fill out the contact form and we'll get back to you right away. Thanks for listening to Awaken Life. We look forward to connecting with you. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Again, this is Adam Seward, and you're listening to Awaken Life. So I want to clue you in real quick. There's a few things going on, a few announcements. One is that on the 17th of November, again, at Unity of Bellevue, we're going to have our monthly meditation meeting. And so you're all welcome to come to that. If you want more information, you can go to my new website. It's adamseward.com. So it's pretty easy, adamseward.com, to find out about that. And, so we're talking about the masculine with heart, what it means to live that out. And we're actually getting pretty deep into some personal stuff, you know, some feelings around this, you know, because it's, you know, there's a lot of challenges, I think, in our culture being a man around, you know, in especially as it relates to, you know, women, work, spirituality, and sex. I mean, those are, these are four topics, you know, for men that just, there's not a lot out there. You know, it's like the most men are the, what they're living out is sort of the ideal they get on TV, you know, like some cross between John Wayne and the Marlboro Man, or like, you know, we said earlier, the sensitive, caring wimp that doesn't have a spine, you know, that isn't, it has a difficult time really standing in his power, in his, you know, in his masculine power. And so, you know, we're talking about these two sides of relationship. And Paul, thanks. I mean, I just give you credit, man. You're kind of, you know, you're laying it out here for us today a little bit. Like, I mean, you went through the whole process in just the last week. You went through the vulnerable, you know, the opening, and then you know, it wasn't what you thought it was. And now, you know, really seeing it from a much wider view.
And the gift in it is that in the moment I could see what it really was and I could appreciate it fully. I mean, then we were, it was totally clean. Everything was healed, as it were. I mean, I've gone through that and been sad and depressed and for a year after a breakup because of being rejected in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was 6 months and then it was 3 months. You know, and this time it's 15 minutes.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be, you know, crying in your soup. I call it going to Walrus Island. Because walrus is, you know how they do it. The big dude, this very first stage, the biggest walrus fights everybody else. Whoever wins, he gets all the ladies.
Mm.
He gets them all pregnant. Mm-hmm. All the other dudes go to the island and they literally get clinically depressed. They just sit around. Yeah. Okay. So there are culture, you know, there are culture subcultures where that kind of power meme is the rule of the day. Who's got the most power, the most money, the most whatever.
Right.
So, but once we get into, you know, this postmodern culture where guys are valued in part for their capacity to be sensitive and to feel into a woman's heart, you know, then they have to learn to do that without collapsing, right? And becoming, you know, that kind of contraction is an enormous turnoff for women. Mm. My God. Because the women love to be praised. We haven't talked about that piece of it. Talking about the feminine, they love to be seen. But if you're doing it to get something from them, it's a take from an energetic standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't clean at all. The idea is to just appreciate and then whatever happens, happens. Yeah. But you've stated it, right? You've seen it.
So I want to talk about what it looks like. I mean, from your experience, and Dad, you too. I mean, I want to talk about what it looks like to empower men, really, and, you know, and be empowered ourselves through doing it, but to empower men to live as men, you know, to live authentically masculine lives of integrity, heart, and freedom. That's how I'm defining it. I mean, and Paul, you embody this. I've always said that. I mean, when we talked about this last night, I was like, you know, it was like, what, you know, what is that? And it's like, well, Paul, you know, you kick ass at this. I mean, you're
I appreciate you saying so. You know, I'm interested to hear what Rick was about to say.
And I'm not done talking yet to you. I think that you also, I mean, here you are. You're how old are you, Paul?
I'm 46.
46. And I tell you, he's got away with the ladies. Today is
what,
such
I'm a single guy, and for a long time, I was holding a story about it. Like, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what if I would have gotten married? And what my life would be like, you know? And I was holding some judgment against myself because there are women who I did want to marry. I think of a couple of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been holding the story that had I played it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're talking about is beyond strategies. You hear this about how in what they call the authentic man movement. There's also the pickup artist movement. It's an offspring of it. They teach men actually how to pick up a woman because they've become so pathetic at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all just, well, it's a culture.
It's true. I tell you what, I talk to a lot of girls and they're like, in this city, There is not a guy that has the balls to come up to me.
And Todd, say something.
And say what's up. And that's part of the wimpy part of it, you know? Right. I mean, there are a lot of wimps out there. And yes, I know what it feels like. I remember when I was dating and I didn't know this stuff, you know, which most of my friends, they don't know this stuff. But yeah. I remember I started dating, it was in my early 20s, and I didn't know this stuff. And so I'd pick up the girl and I'd be like, so where do you want to go to eat?
No, that's not it.
Right? And she'd be like, I don't know, where do you want to go? And like, do you like Thai food? And it's like, you know, if we could have, hooked her up to some kind of device that measures whether or not she's totally turned off, it'd have been off the charts. I mean, it's like, it's what...
That's the buzzkill.
I mean, it's the same thing as like, you know, oh no, there's a cockroach on the floor. Honey, will you kill it? You know, it's like, that's when your wife or your girlfriend or whatever just goes, you know? So, I mean, part of what we're talking about is what it means to be sexier as men, yeah. You know, because that's part of what it means to be the masculine is to show up, you know, in a way that is attractive to the feminine. But we're also talking about what it means to be attractive as a female. You know, because that's one thing that I think we have that we haven't even spoken to yet today is we have a compass as men, you know. I mean, we're kind of putting men on the, you know, the chopping block a little bit, like, okay, how do you do it right as a man? But at the same time, this is more about opening up a conversation between men and women about how we can show up more fully for each other.
Yeah, an authentic way.
Yeah.
And that way you just be yourself around each other.
Right. And, you know, which is the equivalent of showing up, right?
That's right.
I mean, like, we talk about waking up. Today is about showing up. So, like, really what it means to live out the masculine with heart is living through the masculine, that vehicle that's part of this world, right? It's that, that's you know, an aspect of the individual self that you are, in a sense, and an aspect of the divine self, but coming through you. What it looks like to live that out. And I think we're pretty clear that it's not, telling your wife to go check or telling the feminine to go check and see if there's like a burglar downstairs in the middle of the night, you know?
Well, one thing David did, just a story that kind of encapsulated it.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll have be with his partner, let the wife drive, right? Well, the wife driving is the sort of, she goes into the masculine. She's having to navigate, pay attention to what she's doing. It's directional, purposeful. He's in the seat. He's flowing. He's watching things go by, right? No problem, right? But if they're going to a party, when he gets out of the car, he'll throw her over the hood of the car and plant a kiss on her. Just to like, hey, we're going to just get things straight before we go in.
Right.
To just like get this energy like lined.
But Paul, isn't that oppressive to women?
Yeah.
I mean, will you answer that really? Because I mean, I could just hear I heard someone's voice. It wasn't in my head, but I heard someone go, what do you mean bend her over the car? That's not respectful to women.
Do I have to answer that one? Rick, could you answer that?
I mean, no, I'm
let
not going to answer
do
it.
All right,
not
fine.
Touch
all right,
that
fine.
One.
But listen, you know, like, okay, no. I'll do it. I mean, really, I mean, there is a sense that the feminine wants to be ravished, you know, and that the masculine wants to, you know, that part of the job of the masculine is to penetrate the feminine with consciousness, with awareness.
That's it.
And so, you know, it's... this being bent over the hood or whatever and you know, have one planted on you, you know, a nice kiss or whatever, that's not saying, that's like one of the most loving things that a man can do for a woman. It's, and one of the most respectful because in a sense, it's like you're holding her in her feminine and honoring her feminine essence through doing, and your own masculine essence, which is what I think sparked this discussion today is like, and by the way, there's no, I don't see any women calling, so I don't know.
We have to just talk about it.
Well, I think we've just got it all right. I think we're, you know, I think we, so far we've nailed it the whole way. Again, that's 425-373-5527 if you want to rap with us.
No, you're exactly right.
I'm
sorry. You're exactly right, Adam. It's something that when they come together, they speak to that desire. Wanting that, but you know, in a respectful way, in a real way. You're not doing it as a technique to try to get something.
Yeah, that's been a theme you brought up a couple of times. Not from agenda, not from technique. So where from, Paul? I mean, if it's not either of those two things.
You asked an interesting question at the break. Do you want to ask it again? I can't quite
remember. Wait a second, you didn't answer my question.
It's part of
this. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys conceding that the men don't choose the woman? Or that the, I mean, you said to avoid the dreaded LJBF, choose a girl that chose you.
No. That chooses you.
Yeah. So are you conceding the power here?
So here's the paradigm shift. You're actually both being chosen. And it's your, if you're in your masculine, to just see what's happening. Right, you're watching the flow and seeing what's being what you're attracted to and what's attracted to you, and meeting it. Mm. So you're just meeting what's rising up. So there's no intentional, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
But then to take it one step further, if you choose a particular woman and she tells you no, and you get that, and there's something in your mind that's niggling away. Does no mean no? Right? You might need to go to your buddies to say, look, you can tell. Because everybody can tell immediately if she's just being coy or if she's really like, no, dude, that's a no.
Right.
Okay. So, but the answer about like the being chosen piece is then it's not in your control and you're not trying to source from her some need you're not getting.
Yeah, right?
Let's talk about love.
I'm going to let Data say it.
Yeah.
David Data, Way of the Superior Man. He says, if your friends honestly tell you that this woman doesn't want to be with you, it is over. You cannot enjoy a good relationship with her even if she changes her mind. Once she feels your neediness, once she feels that you need her more than she needs you, she'll never trust your masculine core.
Oh, my God. That's right. So true.
So, and right. That's really, you know, we haven't even talked about trust yet.
Okay.
We're talking about masculine with heart. I mean, the masculine with heart is a man that a woman can trust,
right?
Because that's what the feminine wants. It's like, how can I trust so that I can, you know, dance as freely and as openly as possible? And be what, Paul? Be what?
Present.
Wait, the feminine wants to be what?
Seen.
Seen.
Okay.
Feminine wants to be seen. Right. Paul said that if we didn't talk about, we better talk about sex before we bore the hell out of everybody. So stick around and for the last part here, we're going to make things it'll get interesting.
Kidzen Hot Yoga of Bellevue is a brand new hot yoga studio in Bellevue, Washington. Come join a beautiful yoga community and become part of something greater than yourself. Hot yoga has so many tremendous benefits, which include allowing your muscles to stretch deeper than they would at room temperature, while detoxifying your body and working out on a micro and macro level. If you have aches and pains or are just searching for an active and meditative workout, hot yoga is for you. Temperatures range from 98 to 105 degrees and postures focus on strength, endurance, and balance, while simultaneously working your organs, nervous system, and glands. This is a comprehensive workout, and more importantly, it's an opportunity to go deeper within yourself and heal your mind and body from the inside out. More info at GetZenYoga.com. That's GetZenYoga.com.
There's an exciting new Astrology Hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Awaken Life. Well, we're having a fun time here today. We haven't had any women on the line yet, but we're we're definitely fleshing out what it means to live out the masculine with heart. So before the break, I said we were going to talk about sex. So Paul, go for it.
It's a good. It's enjoyable. I give it my highest recommendation. Well, you know, no, in this culture, no, really, honestly, that we talked about oppression, that's a quintessential postmodern sort of sensibility around sex. Is something oppressive about it if you really get passionate, right? It's in that, that stage is characterized by a victimology kind of perspective, right? So you have to be so sensitive, not, you know, that you, it actually robs you of some real energy that's moving through you, mm-hmm. and that they crave and that we crave. So, because it's all one experience.
Mm-hmm.
And in
what about tantra?
Well, exactly. This is all about the play of energy.
I mean, let's
get to it here. Well, in for example, the East, in the Hindu tradition, they'll take the men. And the men will do a very rigorous 10-year meditation practice so they can sit such absolute stillness that it's unmoving, mm-hmm. right? The women, on the other hand, they're the tantrikas, and they learn dance and movement, and that's all they do all day long is learn to move into what they call mudras. They position their body just so that the movement of their body is channeling energy through them. So when it's seen, it creates a connection with the man who's seeing, right? Mm-hmm. And he can hold just such empty space that he can see it all. And so one of these tantrikas is not going to just see anybody if she's a consort or whatever. She'll only see her match. And when they match, that's the only way enlightenment happens, is when the unity happens through the sexuality, mm-hmm. right? The masculine fully meets the feminine, and then it's realized together, right? So it's not, you don't do it alone in the cave in this tradition, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what it takes. That's rigorous. I mean, mm-hmm. that's impressive. For your average guy who sits around, who's watched, The Simpsons his whole life, and he sees Homer Simpson on the couch, he's got no chance, you know? That's my feeling about it. So, you know, Peter Griffin, all these images of men who are just slobs, they're stupid, they can't fix the type, you know, they can't, don't know how to turn on the dishwasher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their long-suffering wives who are just set up.
That's all so great points. I remember, like, David Data one time said, he said, okay, raise your hand if you've had the experience having sex where you and your partner both dissolved into light. And, you know, a few people raised their hands. So, I mean, and that's what awakening is. I mean, that's what these meditative paths are. I mean, you dissolve into light, you know, and whether it's just sitting or whether it's, making love, I mean, that's really the path. And so, that's exciting. I mean, that's a lot more interesting than the second stage, you know, like
getting, yes,
let's agree. I mean, okay. Yeah. We could agree on things, or we could dissolve into light. You know?
Yeah. Yes, because then you're treating sexuality as a sacred act, right?
Yeah.
And you're staying aware and awake all the way through it.
Oh,
right. You're not hurrying up to get it over with.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So yeah. So part of the mass, you know, living the masculine with heart.
Yes.
In this arena means being very attentive.
Absolutely. You're saying total attention all the way through the peak, mm-hmm. all the way through the valley, because mm-hmm. they match.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the way a wave crests at mm-hmm. the top, it also has a trough. Those things go together. Mm-hmm. What people do is, what men in particular mm-hmm. do, and it's sort of bioevolutionary, they reach the peak energetically, and then they just check out. It's absenteeism time.
Mm-hmm.
Or they even fall asleep. That's even a chemical byproduct.
Right.
And that's, you know, that leaves a woman just feeling completely abandoned at a very, and that's, so the training is just stay with it, because the valley is just as juicy as the peak, right?
Right.
And
which is such a metaphor for all aspects of life, really, you know? I mean, in sex, there's a certain intensity to that, and there's a certain, it becomes more palpable, you could say, but yeah, I mean, it's really... I like, you know, one thing I think about when talking about the tantric path is a quote by William Blake. He says, the path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom.
Mm.
And because that's part of what the tantric path is. I mean, it's really the marrying of emptiness and form, right,
that's
Paul?
It.
I mean,
yeah,
it's like,
right.
it's a true coming together of, you know, at the ultimate level, this isn't just, you know, between a man and a woman. This is between, you know, the lover and the beloved in the ultimate sense,
now
you know, the father and the son, or the Brahman and Atman, or is that right?
That's
Brahman,
it,
Atman?
That's it, yeah.
And so, That's you now know, that's the yes. sex. That's the sexual union that I think is probably what I mean. What that's we're it. Yeah.
Now that's very trustable. I mean, that's the thing because you're. It's, you know, you've heard the thing about the union of emptiness and form. Form mm-hmm. is nothing but emptiness. Emptiness is nothing but form. When yeah. you experience yourself as one, it's it becomes all one energy that moves through you, right?
Yeah.
And so that we're talking about is your true self. It's also love itself. It's the experience of love itself, and it's what started the whole universe. It's the source energy that's running through everything and everyone.
Right.
So, you know, if you're really fully that man, you know yourself as that man, right? That's trustable to a woman because you're not sourcing love from her. You get this? You're not trying to get something from her.
Right. Right.
And that, see, as soon as you do that, you know, they can tell it. They're like, wait a sec, you got an agenda. All of a sudden, I'm right. not into this at all
right.
anymore.
Right. Well, so there you go. There you just hit that point right there. You know, it's like the feminine wants to trust. And what is the feminine trust? That unmoving, you know, sturdy man,
yeah,
or that
right,
or the whoever's embodying the masculine.
Yeah. And if you read about Siddhartha, you know, that's when he finds his lover. When they come together, then they're so aligned, they're so realized that the sexual union actually flows, and they each take turns. It moves very naturally, and so it's not a gender thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can each take, you know, just whatever's flowing in the moment because
right.
it's just the expression. So it's not done for a reason. You're not, it's actually just an expression of your enlightenment. It's a celebration of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So mm-hmm. that people think Tantra has something to do with sex. Sex is just the bonus. Honestly.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
cake is your experience. It's just love. That's the cake.
Right.
Right? And sex is the icing.
Well, and you know, and it is a practice, right, too, because it's just another aspect of life that can be a vehicle or a channel for awakening. I mean, it's also another way of life that is a tremendous expression of the awakening that's already occurred within you, or yeah. the wakefulness that's already happened within you. So, I mean, it's part of what I've been really intuiting lately is that this is a celebration, you know, and the birthing, you could say, or the awakened journey is a birthing into a place of great celebration, great ecstasy, great holding up and magnifying in any way possible the experience of oneness with the universe, with God, and often with another person. So
that's
you know,
what I watch you.
What's that, Paul?
That's what you do. You're an expert at that, my friend. You really live that. You totally do.
I had a great time this last weekend blowing my whistle at that concert. You know, some of you might know my whistle story. Well, I actually have a whistle now, and I like to go at the peak of the song at a concert. I'll just start blowing that thing. I got it right here, actually. So it's Thank you, Paul.
That sounds like a train, man.
I'll tell you what.
Freedom train you're on, my
Well,
friend.
We're having a good time. I mean, this is a good time, you know, and actually we're going to, you know, we haven't announced it yet, but we've got some ideas in store for 2012 as far as awakened parties. Because just the fact that it's 2012 alone seems like a good reason to throw a party to me. Let alone the fact of what's happening on our planet right now and the way things are accelerating and, you know, the way the fun is increasing.
Time to celebrate.
So that's where sex fits into this, I think, more than anything. And we're living the masculine with heart and in relationship because that's part of where that's the juicy part.
I think there's a lot more to be said on the topic.
Well, we're not done with this. We're not done.
No.
We might as well just say right now, we've decided this is going to be a three-part series. So I don't know what you're doing next Monday, but we need to continue this conversation.
Well, my thought is we should encourage folks to email questions or phone call. You know, phone call, if you record a phone call, we can play it on the air. But, you know, this is a topic could be really fun to chat about for a while.
So far, so good. Yeah, Dan.
What's your new website?
Oh, adamseward.com.
No, it's a great new site. Yeah,
adamseward.com. Yeah, please go there.
Good.
We've actually, like I said, we've got our November meeting coming up, November 17th, Unity Bellevue. We're going to meditate together. We're going to have a good time like we normally do. And Yeah, and stay tuned.
Can they email you questions there?
They can. You can email me
website, right?
At info@adamseward.com. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. You're going to want to come back next week. We're going to continue to talk about living the masculine with heart. All right, this is Adam Seward.
Thanks, guys.
Awaken Life Talk Radio Evolved.
See you guys.